From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. A week of mourning has been declared in Poland after a plane crash Saturday killed President Lech Kaczynski, his wife, and dozens of senior military and government figures. In all, 97 people were killed. And as NPR's Eric Westervelt reports from Warsaw, Poles have been gathering outside the presidential palace.
Thousands of Poles continue to walk past the palace, quietly paying respects by leaving flowers or candles near the gates or under trees in the presidential square. The loss is devastating to Poland. In addition to the president and first lady, others killed include the head of the Polish Central Bank, the deputy foreign minister, as well as the leaders of the Polish Army, Navy, Air Force, and Special Forces, the military chief of staff, and several members of parliament. Warsaw resident Alex Martin says the country is in shock.
We left without any commanders of the army and the president of the National Bank. So it was really a disaster.
President Kaczynski and his group were traveling to Western Russia to commemorate the 70th anniversary of a massacre of Polish officers by Soviet secret police during World War II when their plane crashed in heavy fog. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Warsaw.
The victims of the plane crash in Russia included a Chicago artist, a man well known in the area's large Polish community. Wojciech Severin was a sculptor who dedicated himself to reminding people of the 1940 killings of Polish military officials in Russia, including his own father. He was 70 years old. In West Virginia, a team of federal investigators will arrive Monday to begin looking into the last week's deadly coal mine explosion. The process of removing the remaining bodies of the 29 killed began today. Erica Peterson of West Virginia Public Broadcasting reports that the bodies of the last four miners were found early this morning.
The bodies of several workers were brought out of the Upper Big Branch mine Saturday, just hours after families were forced to abandon the hope that their loved one had somehow survived the explosion. Poisonous gases were at such high levels inside the mine, officials knew the only way the four miners would be alive was if they had made it to a refuge chamber. After days of setbacks, crews were finally able to check the last chamber. West Virginia Governor Joe Manchin delivered the news.
None of the chambers had been deployed, and none of our miners suffered. So this journey has ended, and now the healing will start.
Federal investigators will arrive at the mine Monday morning to begin trying to determine what caused the deadly explosion. Manchin has also asked for a national moment of silence Monday afternoon at 3:30, the approximate time of the blast. For NPR News, I'm Erica Peterson in Charleston, West Virginia.
Seismic activity continues to shake Southern California nearly a week after a magnitude 7.2 earthquake. A moderate quake rattled parts of Imperial and San Diego counties today, but no damage or injuries have been reported. It was centered about 16 miles from Calexico, which suffered heavy damage in the earlier quake. And from Washington, this is NPR News. Two astronauts are just a few hours away from conducting their second spacewalk of the current shuttle mission. NPR's Joe Palka explains what they'll be up to.
On their first EVA, as spacewalks are technically known, astronauts Rick Mastracchio and Clayton Anderson began the process of replacing an old coolant tank on the starboard side of the International Space Station with a new one the shuttle carried into orbit. It's a complicated process since the old tank is not in a position easily reached by the shuttle's robotic arm. Completing the replacement will actually require a third EVA later in the mission. Inside the space station, the visiting shuttle crew and the resident station crew will continue the process of unpacking cargo carried up from Earth and preparing material that will return to Earth. According to NASA's current plans, there are only three more space shuttle missions before the shuttle is retired. Joe Palka, NPR News.
Lee Westwood is the leader heading into the final round of the Masters Golf Tournament. He's one stroke ahead of Phil Mickelson, who caused the biggest stir and roars of approval today by becoming only the third golfer in Augusta National history to make back-to-back eagles.
I took a chance to go at it, and it hit one of the best shots of the tournament to about 8 feet and ended up making that for eagle, and it spurred the rest of the round. Now 14, it's the easiest pin on the hole. You expect to make birdie there, and I hit a good shot and thought that the ball would be close, so you don't obviously expect for it to go in.
Mickelson nearly had three eagles in a row but had to settle for a birdie on the 15th hole. Tiger Woods is still in the mix. He's tied for third, four strokes off the lead entering Sunday's final round. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.